Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, sweaty Oliver Davis. How the sweaty are you?
I'm, you know, sweaty. You've made that quite clear. Thanks for making me self-conscious.
That's not, well, we're all sweaty here.
I'm worried about a future where it's not just audio and video that the viewers at home can experience, but also smell. And what I don't like is the slimy touch of my back.
Oh, yeah. There have been times where I've got out of this chair and thought, I mean, my t-shirt is stuck to my back. It is going to be pretty gross. We went out for lunch on Friday when you weren't here. Me, Laurie, housemate Simon, and our editor went out for lunch.
Where did you go?
Went to Breakfast Club.
It was really nice there.
It was really
nice.
That's
where my cup's from.
I know.
Why didn't you invite Pete?
Pete had already had lunch.
Ah.
And then he stayed here and got stressed out because he couldn't access the internet. Because, in fairness, Simon had given him the wrong password.
That's probably why it wasn't working.
Yeah. But we went there and I was wearing a black t-shirt in very, very hot heat. We were sat outside and I could like feel my t-shirt just getting drenched in sweat, like particularly around the rolls of fat that I have on my body. T-shirt just getting caught within them.
Character fat.
Character fat. Yeah, it was not a pleasant experience.
Yeah, the problem is with especially like black t-shirts, I guess you can't, no one can see it, kind of, which is a benefit, but it's when it dries. It's like, I think fresh sweat is okay, but in an hour's time, it smells like, well, straight up BO, which is bad. And then also when you forget about washing in a washing machine,
yeah,
and you open it and it's all dried funny and it's got that stink about it. I used to have an ex-girlfriend who smelt like that all the time. And I tried to bring it up, but it's hard because that was her smell.
There was a young lady who used to work. So when I was working for a toy shop after university that I had to work for because I tried to make my money making short films, and that did not work out in the least.
So far.
So I had to go get a regular 9-to-5 job, and I did so in a toy shop for children. And we employed, I was kind of put in charge of employing people. And I employed this young lady who had a smell about her. And that smell only got worse throughout the day to the point where people were complaining.
No way.
Customers were complaining. And then my manager had to let her go.
Oh my God.
Because of the level of complaints we were getting over her
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, loads of people suffer from excess perspiration.
And it was not her fault. It really was not her fault. I want to stress that. And it was genuinely one of the most heartbreaking things ever because I really
think that's legal.
Because I really want. Well, I mean,
you know, like that's in the same sort of murky waters as you're disabled and we have to get rid of you.
Mm. Yeah. No. And
this is a thing out of her control.
No, and you know, and perhaps he was not right to do so. It wasn't my choice. I didn't say.
Oh yeah, I'm not blaming you.
You should definitely do this.
Just calling attention to a past injustice.
I hired her.
Yeah.
Knowing full well.
Yeah, you set her up to fail.
Maybe I'm the bad guy.
Did no one think before? Like, was his immediate thought? Well, that we're gonna have to fire her. Not maybe let's get some deodorant to put behind the counter.
We tried all of that.
And she used it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bless her. I don't know what ever happened to her, though.
Okay.
But do you want to open up some presents?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've got these things. Well, okay. So we've had two packages arrive at the WrestleTalk office. I just assumed their presents.
Oh, well, okay. So I have had a few emails recently from people saying, like, hey, I've got these things that I want to send you.
Yeah.
Where can I send them to? And I've said... send them to this address. So I figured that's
Chopper
what they
always
are.
Wants birthday presents.
It always does. So, yeah, let's open up yours first. Mine's a much larger box.
All right. See, it could be... I went a bit... You know, I do have a penchant for self-improvement gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some yellow-tinted glasses at the weekend to reduce blue light exposure. Oh, yes. No, this is a present. Okay. I mean, I also kind of wanted it to be those glasses, but here it is. It is the American Nightmare Cody pop vinyl figure to complete a pop vinyl sort of Bullet Club / Elite set. You know what? I'm going to have that in today's set.
Yep.
In the box, if it doesn't glare too bad.
Mint condition. Right, now, how do I get into this? So I've got to open up mine. That did not come with a letter from who it was from.
Yeah, but I think I know. Yeah.
Well, no, you see, you think you might do, but you also might not.
have you been going into my emails and deleting
stuff? No, because obviously I had that email as well, but we've actually had two emails from people wanting to send us Cody Rhodes pop vinyls.
See, mine email...
Your email?
...was from... Aaron Moreau. Was that who your one was?
No, because I had that one, because I was the person that then told him where to send it to.
I also told him where to send it to.
Oh, well, maybe I...
And he replied to both of us CC'd. Maybe we must have seemed really keen. I didn't know we were both across it.
Yes, yeah, I've just seen it. Yeah, Aaron Monroe.
Morrow.
Aaron Murray, do apologise. I cannot get into this box whatsoever. Actually, looking at it, I think the other email may have also been from Morrow, but it sent us two different emails to say he was going to send something across.
There you go. Well, should we go get on with the main show and we can open this after the...
This is a baffling box.
They wrapped it well.
They have.
Yeah. So today we're talking about... Well, Luke's really trying to get into this quite hard, to the extent where he cannot speak... Roman Reigns' attacker mystery has got even more stupid. Here's what we thought of SmackDown. SmackDown was last night.
Certainly was.
It was better than last week.
It was a show.
It was, you know, compared to the brilliant month of WWE TV heading into SummerSlam... WWE have gone off the boil. Started with last week's SmackDown. This week's Raw was average. Probably, no, it was poor, actually. It was below average. And this SmackDown was, you know, nowhere near... It had good wrestling on. It had enjoyable wrestling. The 2 hours did go relatively quickly, but nothing felt like it advanced. And this Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan storyline that is on top of everything, really. Even on Raw, where, mysteriously... The storyline hasn't actually developed on Raw for the last few weeks, which is an enormous amount of restraint for WWE. It took Another turn here, which really doesn't make any sense with the installments that have preceded.
No. So there were reports that came out a few hours before the show that Vince had once again rewritten, like thrown out the script and rewritten it. And the last time that this happened, the story went that by the time Vince had kept in all the stuff that he liked, there was still an hour left of the show to fill. And that's why we ended up getting long matches. We had a really long New Day tag match.
That was good.
And it was good. And this felt like that same show where it was Vince has torn everything, he's torn out everything, and has just kept the stuff that he does like. And it's like, oh, we've still got an hour left to fill. Should we send Bailey and Lacey Evans out to have a 20-minute match?
And it worked.
And it worked. It was very, very good. And so I am actually not saying these are necessarily bad things. But my main criticism I have against this show is that it didn't advance anything.
Mm.
Like, that 20-minute match did not advance Bayley versus Charlotte at Clash of Champions.
It totally did. Charlotte stood there and watched, and then she applauded.
And
at
she
the
did.
End.
Did a clap.
Well, we'll get onto that in the full review. But let's get into what happened with the Roman Reigns attack and mystery. First of all, Brian and Rowan were backstage talking to Kayla Braxton earlier in the night. They told her that they want an apology from Roman. And also, the show started as a cold open with Roman walking backstage after that extensive video recap package that I've seen about 18 times with little bits added on the end by now. Kayla Braxton also caught up with Roman and said, what do you have to say to Brian and Rowan after, you know, that stupid fake Rowan reveal last week? And he said, what I have to say, I'll say to them in the ring.
Yeah, just me, what happened?
Mm.
Like, after the camera stopped rolling, what happened in that room?
Yeah, so we left SmackDown last week with Brian, Rowan, and Rowan's older brother, fake Rowan, looking at Roman Reigns.
Derek Rowan.
Breathing.
Yeah, heavily.
And Roman looking confused. It was stupid. And now I can't unsee it with the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. So it's stupid. It was awkwardly staged. It was, you know, it was funny from a this is completely goofy perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah, in kayfabe, what does Roman do there?
And then
I wish the episode just opened up on that shot.
They haven't moved, or they've gone to another arena.
Yeah.
But just gone into it. Should we find another cupboard? Yeah. Okay. And then this show's follow up to that was essentially to ignore it, and Brian and Rowan were demanding an apology from Roman. So Roman went to the ring at the end of the show. This was the main event segment of the show. He went to the ring and Brian and Rowan appeared on the Titantron and said, we demand our apology. And Roman was like, hey, y'all, should I give them the apology? And the crowd chanted, no, no, no.
That was quite a good bit of pantomime back and forth. Like, Roman really got the crowd into it.
And then said, instead, I'm going to show you this footage. And the footage he showed was from the original attack, which happened 2 months ago at this point. And that footage showed that Rowan was there. And so, where's this footage been?
So it's the camera from the top of the sort of shelving unit that fell on Roman from his right-hand side.
The bit of scaffold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we've all said that doesn't make sense anyway. Why would you have a camera up there? But that's the just before it falls, you can see, and they like slow it down, they enhance the image. There is a guy with a darkened hood on and a beard. And he walks off as everyone's clamoring around Roman. I don't think you can see that in the original attack, so it's just one shot that's been extended a bit more. Yes, why hasn't this footage been discovered previously?
Yeah.
Considering the amount of resources and, you know, attempted murder that's been done on Reigns. But fine. I can look past that because it's wrestling, it's a soap opera. You can extend things out if you've got a good whodunit. I don't really mind. What I'm annoyed with is that the whole development last week was Brian saying, no, it wasn't Rowan, it was a guy who looks like Rowan. And now there's a guy who looks like Rowan in the video. You cannot definitively say it is Rowan. It could quite easily be the excuse Brian made up last week. And then it cuts to Brian and Rowan backstage in that Titantron shot. And Brian starts going, why did you lie to me? Oh, you awful Rowan. It was a great performance from Brian. actually. He was brilliant at acting.
Certainly was.
But it makes no sense because Brian really should just lean back and go, yeah, I know. That's fake Rowan.
Yeah.
I showed him to you last week.
Where's my apology?
I was like, what am I watching here?
I'll tell you what you're watching.
Have you skipped an entire chapter?
No, I'll tell you what you're watching. You're watching Lost. You're watching a TV show where a group of writers have no idea where they're going next and are making it up as they go along. And then they just fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. And so at the end, they're like, it's purgatory.
Rikishi.
Yeah, exactly. It's Rikishi. And that's what we're currently watching. We're watching a group of writers who have no end point and don't know how to get to an end point and are just trying to elongate the process and just add in more and more stuff until they can think about what they want to do for the ending. And it's just making the storyline less and less good.
Yeah, I mean, I will fight the writer's corner. I think, based on what I understand in WWE's backstage writing processes, they've got loads of ideas.
They're just trying to appease that one man. That one man has not made a decision on what the ending is.
Or they've got ideas, but that idea needs at least 4 weeks of explanation, and then you can do the reveal. However, Vince can't commit to anything for 4 weeks because he gets annoyed or frustrated or thinks things aren't going to work. So he tears up these little storylines and he goes with something else. Like, I probably was Buddy Murphy at one point. What about this whole thing started with Brian's career-altering announcement?
Yeah, but that storyline did get dropped.
Yes.
In favor of doing this one.
Yeah, yeah, but like you could almost make an argument that they're tied in. You know,
he started
talking about how he's got to go to places he's never been before. And you could say, like, he's, you know, just gone unhinged. And that's where he's going to. That's his career-altering announcement. I'm a super mega heel who, you know, is going after Roman Reigns now.
And also, for, like, a whodunit, we haven't had an attack for some time. Like, for me, if I was stuck in the writer's position where I've got to try and extend this storyline out artificially, I would say, we'll do another attack.
Yes.
And we'll try and add more layers of mystery as opposed to trying to explain a mystery and explain it poorly. Because also, can you imagine Scream, where there's only two attacks and then the rest of the movie is them just working out who did it?
If it's a court procedural, I wouldn't mind that. this is just off the top of my head. What an interesting wrinkle to this story. Reigns is there, said he's got, you know, he plays that footage. And he's like, I think that's Rowan. I don't think that's fake Rowan. I think you're full of BS. And Brian's like, I'm not full of BS. Neither's Rowan. We're not liars. And then a bit of set collapses on them.
Yeah, or a bit more mystery to it. Yeah. A bit more intrigue.
I don't know where you can go from there.
No, well, I mean, but to be honest, the writers don't know where they're going anyway. So you may as well throw stuff at the wall at this point. I also take issue and take umbrage with the lazy writing of... I mean, Roman looks like a complete doofus.
Yeah.
Because you got attacked, mate. Your first instinct was to go around asking people what happened when there was video footage right there. You could have just gone to a production guy and said, can I watch the footage? And then be like Blade Runner and being like, enhance, 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 you know, and doing all this sort of stuff. You could have done that weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but instead you were like, hey, buddy, what did you see?
Yeah.
Like an absolute moron. Like there's actual physical proof of what happened and you chose to ignore it.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. And but Brian walks down, he like really slaps Rowan. And it's, I mean, I don't know if that's the start of a break. Have they split up, maybe?
Straight veg society coming to an end.
I personally think they'll be back together next week and they'll have, I don't know, turned full heel. But then Brian stormed down to the ring. His performance is so brilliant in terms of just, it was a constant stream of, I'm not a liar. Why are you saying this to me? I hate liars. I'm not that sort of person.
I didn't know what he was doing. I had no idea he attacked you.
And it was just like, it was like he wasn't repeating himself either. And he spoke for a long time while he was walking with the mic. Great. And the nuance of the performance means that I actually don't know whether Brian is genuinely outraged or whether he's accentuating that because he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lady doth protest too much, that sort of motivation. So I'm like, and then he walks down to the ring, gets in the ring, he's still talking. Roman just hits him with a spear. That's the end of the show. That to me suggests Brian isn't behind this.
So WWE.com are saying that the truth has been revealed. And we now know the attacker, and it was Rowan. And so
Rowan's working for someone else.
Or he's working independently. But Rowan was saying as well that it wasn't him. When the footage was shown, he was like, no, Daniel, it wasn't me, it wasn't me.
So I think they really are just going to completely ignore that stupid fake Rowan reveal from last week.
Which is probably for the best.
So if it's not Brian, it probably still is. But the way they ended the show made me think it isn't, because Brian just looks stupid now. And he's already been speared. He's already kind of got his comeuppance there. Which is such a waste of Brian then, if that's what you've been doing this whole month. Who's behind it? Telling Rowan?
Buddy Murphy. It's not him telling Rowan. It's Buddy Murphy is the man that is doing this. I think this whole babyface turn for him is then to swerve us into thinking that he's been taken away from the storyline. Because if it's not Buddy Murphy at this point, then Murphy has been Samoa Joe'd in this storyline. Remember when Samoa Joe was a big part of this storyline and has not been a part of it now for a month or so?
Back when it was good.
Yeah, so I don't want Buddy Murphy to be Samoa Joe'd in all of this.
Or
it's Liv Morgan. You know, that guy did have a compelling argument.
Mm. So
they do have tongues.
You know, if you look at who's got associations with Rowan, to be honest, if Vince McMahon will probably put anyone with Rowan and think it's a good idea because he loves how big he is. He's totally a giant redwood.
he is Kane and Big Show.
But character-wise, The Fiend, I'm just fantasy booking here, speculating, The Fiend has a relationship with Rowan from before. Maybe The Fiend is somehow behind all of this. Bray Wyatt may be behind all of this to appease The Fiend. The Fiend, as we know from Hell in a Cell reports, Pete's got more of it in his news video later today, looks like he's going to be going up against Seth or Braun for the Universal title at Hell in a Cell. Maybe this is all connected.
But, and I think we've had this chat before, does The Fiend pushing over boxes and driving a car seem in character?
No. Does for Bray Wyatt, though.
I don't even think...
Bray Wyatt's nervous.
Mr. Rogers version of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sure.
And hey, you there. Are you going to Royal Quest this coming Saturday at the Copper Box in London? You are? Well, why not go to the Four Quarters in Hackney beforehand at 3 p.m. and have some drinks with the WrestleTalk team? It's our first ever SWAF Nation meetup, and we're going to a retro video game pub. There are arcade machines all over the place. There's Mega Drives, there's a SNES console, there's an N64, and I think there's a GameCube as well. They change it around all the time. And wonderful, lovely, overpriced craft beer.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for Kenny Omega for not wrestling for New Japan now. And as a retro video game bar,
he would have been
5 minutes from the Copper Box show, the Royal Quest show. Also, more things to promote. Go over to Patreon, become a pledge hammer over there for our Patreon.
Nice.
And
smooth.
Because it's AEW All Out this weekend, you can participate in Wrestle League, our fantasy predictions league. Our predictions are going to be going up tomorrow. And if you pledge $25 a month or more, you get a shout out on this show. So thank you, Colin Mack, cleaner than Finn Balor.
Oh, he's cleaner. Lean. Yeah. He is lean. He said there's a rainstorm coming. It's from Terminator. Terminator.
Praise him, Jonathan Priestan.
Nice. You gotta praise him. The grifter, Garrett Vandergrift.
Oh, woo. Yeah, nice. Round it out. Michael Mislayan McKees. Don't know where I put him.
Tantalizing Travis Magtolo.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Rainmaker. Ron Spragem.
Yeah, nice. Well. Clarence Razor Callahan.
Yeah. Woo.
Jack Daniels on the Carl Rocks.
This is Carl Rocks, you see.
And Greg Taylor, soldier, spy.
Nice.
Good
time. Nice.
Woo. Thank you, everybody, all so much.
Anyway, super chats. Tim Arndt says, what happened to Rowan's doppelganger? For all we saw in that footage, it could have been him. It made Daniel look stupid for jumping to conclusions.
Totally agree.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, OJ says, Luke, why do you hate Eyes Wide Shut? I was shocked when you dropped that bombshell on yesterday's Raw review. It may not be Kubrick's best, but it's still pretty damn great.
I will quote the great Mark Kermode, who said, it's the inane ramblings of a man who needs to get out more. It was made, the sole reason that movie exists is because Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman were married. It's the only reason that film exists.
Keith Lloyd says, happy Easter, Chopper. Thanks. Big fan from the US. Do you guys think AEW could compete with a WWE that has its creative S word together? Thank you. It's always a great time with the lovely boys.
I guess we'll find out come October.
Yeah, because NXT is WWE with its creative S word together.
Although, me and Laurie have said 2019 has not been a strong year for its creative. It's been a bit all over the place. They have dropped storylines here and there and have done some storylines quite poorly, I would say. But I don't think a lot of that is their fault. They were sort of gutted throughout the year of just like losing talent left, right, and center, and have essentially had to sort of scramble together to try and make some of their stories work.
Mm. Kevin says, did Lacey say she's the face of the SD women's division? I guess brand split, LOL.
I think she just said she was the face of the women's division, brackets general.
Who hasn't been there for a month.
No, she's been on main event.
She's a heel, though.
Yeah.
Forged by Gaming says, stupid question. If wrestlers were giant robots, who would you pilot and what would they transform to? Like if Robot Roman became a big metal dog.
Oh, I was into that question from the opening line.
Oh, very much so. But I'm going to pick Kane in this one.
Yeah.
And turn into a big red demon.
Big red machine.
Yeah, or he is literally the big red machine.
Oh, it's a difficult one. Because your mind goes to large wrestlers in stature anyway.
Mm.
But if anyone can just become the large version of their nickname, I'll get back to you.
You don't want to be, you don't want to turn into a robotic snake, do you? So you want to pick Randy.
Yeah. A giant pancake. One of the New Day.
New Tops 4 says, hey guys, love you both. What's happening with Benjamin? Will we have a storyline now?
He did have a storyline. He did the eye thing. And it's led to this.
Who's Benjamin?
Shelton.
Oh, Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, I don't know. We'll get on to that, though.
John Kurosawa says, if you could book the Roman Reigns attacker storyline, who would be behind it and why?
Buddy Murphy, from the get-go.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tim Arnt again says, Sammy calling Miz the king of soft style confirms that WWE watch your channel. Also, Sammy selling Shinsuke's offense was my favorite thing on the show.
We can't take credit for that. That's a Daniel Bryan line. He used to be talking smack all the time during their feud when Daniel Bryan wasn't allowed to wrestle, but he was still continuing that Miz feud, which thankfully WWE booked brilliantly last year.
Sarcasm.
And finally, for now, before we get into the main show, Jesse Venables says, my wife gets annoyed because I watch all of your videos, so I just do house chores and clean at the same time. Happy wife and clean house. Feliz Navidad, Chopper.
Hey.
Feliz Navidad.
What a tune.
Feliz Navidad. Thanks. Well, thank you for Super Chats. Now go over to Screen Stalker and hit that subscribe button.
Oh, yeah.
To get to 50K, and we'll play WWE 2K Universe mode every week. Fantasy universe, we call it Not Monday Night Raw. It'll be us competing against each other, maybe even members of the SWAF Nation too.
Who
and the
knows?
Occasional wrestling guest. So, SmackDown opened with the recap of the Roman Reigns attacker storyline, and then he speaks to Braxton backstage. And the in-ring opening has Kofi Kingston shimmy on down to the ring, and another recap package of the Orton stuff. Bit heavy on the recap packages.
Bit heavy, and then Kofi just cut a template promo that had really nothing of substance to it.
Well, it did. They went after his family and Xavier Woods.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a template promo that we've had various times now in this feud. And then, all of a sudden, it cuts to Randy Orton, and he's reading a letter from Wendy, and he's talking about how he's going to... Oh, no, sorry, those are my notes from last year. But, yeah, no, Randy Orton all of a sudden had this letter that was given to... slipped under his hotel room door, and it was a letter from Kofi's kid. And it's like, you're a meanie, my dad's a goodie, don't be a meanie. And then he says, hey, your family is in the same hotel that I'm in. I'm going to go pay them a visit.
Yeah, so like the structure of the letter was more like, you know, I love Kofi. He's one of my favorites. And you beat him up last week. Please don't do that again because I'm so into him. Oh, by the way, I'm not just a fan of Kofi. I'm his son, or he's my dad. And you're like, well, that's a really well-structured reveal for like an eight-year-old boy to write. And then, yeah, he says that line of, ah, so your son is staying in the same hotel as me. Well, maybe I'll pay him a visit. And I'm just like, it's like, you know, some threats are good threats. Most family threats are good. But I don't know. It's the inclusion of like eight-year-old boy, hotel. I don't think you want to say that. I think someone should catch that line and go, no, it just doesn't work, that line. It makes you sound like a paedophile.
So, you know how much, you know I love Child's Play. The movie, the 88 movie. I think it's a terrific, terrific movie. And I think this follow-up is even better. There is a line in that movie, if you've not seen it, Chucky finds out that he has got to transfer his soul into the first person he revealed himself to. Otherwise, he's going to be trapped in the doll forever. And it turns out that the first person he revealed himself to was Andy Barclay, who was an eight-year-old child. And so he starts laughing. He's like, I've got to go. I've got a date with a six-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, someone should have gone, maybe we shouldn't have the line, I have a date with a six-year-old boy.
That kind of works for a...
I haven't had this much sex since I was a Boy Scout leader.
It kind of works for a demonically possessed entity. You know, it can do those sort of nefarious things. Not Randy Orton.
No. And we're back to it's about the family again. Stopping and starting these storylines, it doesn't work. This is Vince McMahon trying to get a square peg in a round hole, and is just willing to jam this in. He's like, Kevin Owens is a family man, that's getting him over. Kofi's a family man, that's getting him over. And the heat for this storyline is, we're not invested in Kofi because he's got kids. We're invested in Kofi because of an 11-year journey to get to the top of the mountain. Mm. And we're invested in this storyline because this dastardly heel beat up all of his mates and has put one of his mates in the hospital.
So at the end of this, Kingston, enraged by the fact that Orton is going to, you know, go after his son.
Go over on a date with a six-year-old boy.
Runs backstage, and Randy's just there in Gorilla.
Yeah.
Which was just a bit of weird staging. I was like, well, where is everyone backstage? Because Randy was in front of the curtain backdrop and the screen just now. It would have made more sense for him to run in there. It was just a bit clunky. They brawled a bit. I think there was an RKO hit.
No, he hit the draping DDT like off a table onto the carpet.
And then Kofi was sort of taken off to the trainer's room.
Well, no, actually, because we see Big E coming out of the room. He was coming out of a room that was for a doctor and or trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, because it said doctor slash trainer, which made me read it. It was like, we couldn't decide which one we wanted it to be. So it's doctor and or trainer.
And Big E says that he'll take out Randy in their match later on.
Yeah, he said Kofi will be fine for Clash of Champions, but crucially will not be around for my match with Randy Orton.
Oh yeah, Clash of Champions, by the way, is going to have Orton versus Kofi. That was a match announced earlier in the day on social media.
Yeah.
So that was announced, yeah, stupid. Much stupid, stupid, stupid. Announce it on the show.
Though they did announce it on the show as well.
But make the big reveal on the show as part of an angle.
You don't want to take the shine away from Miz getting his shot.
Right, next up we had the sort of penultimate first round King of the Ring match on SmackDown. Buddy Murphy versus Ali. The best cruiserweight main roster match ever is what some people have said. And I'm not going to take that away from them. I like that you enjoyed it so much. For me, it was a very good match with a lot of slappy high kicks, but 5 minutes of commercial break, and we only really got 4 minutes of action.
Yeah, we saw the final 3-4 minutes of this match.
But it looked really good.
Looked fun.
I just didn't see all of it. Nope. I think there's been many more cruiserweight-orientated matches that I've enjoyed a lot more on the main roster.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah, even going back to the 205 Live Cruiserweight Purple Rope days on Raw.
And I go back to Buddy versus Roman from a couple of weeks ago. Thought that was a better match.
Yeah, and also, if you want to see a really, really good Ali-Buddy Murphy match, they had like a feud all through last year.
Yeah.
It was a no DQ match that was particularly excellent.
Yeah, this match did not reach those heady heights.
But it was very good. Lots of slapping kicks. Reverse Hurricanrana. There was just this like brilliant sequence from Buddy Murphy of cheeky Nando's in the corner, so a kick while Ali's head is between his legs, then the powerbomb into a pin, kick out, and when Ali kicked out, standing V trigger.
Yeah,
I just like that is modern wrestling.
That's great.
The pace,
yeah.
Structure of like cutting edge modern wrestling.
And the crowd were massively into this as well.
This is awesome jump from that spot and sequence.
And credit to Murphy as well. Like they got him over because the crowd were really into Murphy at the start of this match. Lots of Buddy chants and Murphy chants at the start of this match. So I think Buddy really has managed to get himself over despite WWE's best efforts not putting him on TV for 4 months.
Unfortunately, Ali, shortly after that amazing sequence, hit the 054 to win. I really thought that this had, it needed another 5 minutes. Go through another commercial break. Make it feel like a war between these two guys because Buddy has come off that excellent match with Roman, a very good match with Brian the week after. He feels big time. And then to go out like this, while not awful, it's very, very good. It's just not, it's like, I don't think Buddy's more over now. In fact, I think he's less over now. And that's not the goal.
And you've also taken two of your hottest baby faces on SmackDown and you've just knocked them both out in the first round, which suggests to me that this is not an important tournament because we need to focus on lesser over people.
Baron Corbin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
and Chad Gable.
Ali has no momentum. I love Ali.
And that is not his fault either. That is WWE's terrible booking of him, of that he had those weeks and weeks and weeks of great, great promos. Then he started a feud with Shinsuke Nakamura that got dropped and he just got beat by Dolph Ziggler. So, of course, he's got no momentum. They dropped the ball.
Yeah. So I'm looking at these two guys. I love Ali. I love Buddy Murphy. But let's be honest, Buddy Murphy has a lot of momentum right now. Just have him win. I think they made the wrong choice.
He's got to be involved. He's got to still be involved in this Roman storyline. And that's why you've taken him out of the King of the Ring. It's And if not, then there was no need to take him out of the King of the Ring other than they wanted Ali to advance.
Well, Buddy did the very heelish thing, potentially foreshadowing that, by completely endorsing Ali and raising his hand at
the end. It's all a swerve, brother.
Bailey's backstage for some terrible acting. Ember Moon comes over and says, thanks for giving me the chance, pal.
Yep.
Going up against you.
I'll get you next time. Next time, I will do the win.
And then Lacey Evans turns up and is like, I'm back.
I'm the face of the division. I'm going to prove that later tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like it when Ember Moon's like, thanks for giving me the chance. Like, can't we all just be fighting?
But again, that's inconsistent with the character that they were doing in the lead up to SummerSlam. Granted, all of that just got dropped and she just got beaten up every single week.
Yeah, it's no good.
No.
Then The Miz comes out and... Wait, who was... Miz comes out first. He starts to cut a promo.
Yeah, because they did announce this was going to be The Miz versus Sami Zayn.
Mm.
And yeah, so Miz cut a promo saying that Sami's a hanger-on. He's a spokesperson because he can't hack it in a WWE ring. I made the Intercontinental title relevant. And I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to challenge Shinsuke Nakamura to a match at Clash of Champions.
Yeah. And then Sami Zayn interrupted, came out and said... Nakamura is the king of strong style while Miz is the king of soft style, which was a really nice line. Didn't get a reaction from the crowd, but that is a good line, I think. And then Sammy coaxes Miz out of the ring. Nakamura jumps Miz and they beat him down. Sammy is doing this terrifically
lovely
obnoxious job.
Running commentary over it, yeah.
Like, knee him in the face, Sammy! No. Shinsuke.
I like the fact that he went, go on, my champion!
Yeah, he said he called him Nakamura-san.
Yeah. Some nice stuff in there. Kinshasa into the LED board, and then he held him up so that he could do it again. If I was to give this a criticism, it's the same beatdown we saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not advancing a story.
I guess he challenged for the IC title.
But that was fairly obvious from last week, so I don't feel like we were advanced.
Yeah.
And if that is an advance, it's a very small advancement. Mm.
What, to put a title on the line? The most prestigious thing in this company?
Dude, you do that on Twitter. Don't do it on TV.
I thought Sammy was great here. I just don't think this partnership works.
No, I don't think it does either.
Yeah. Elias is backstage strumming his guitar in Shane's office. Not a euphemism. And Owens walks in. He wants to talk to Shane. And Elias says, well, he's not here. And KO says, huh, thanks.
Have we all forgotten what happened last week? Why isn't Kevin Owens pissed off that he got screwed out of the tournament that he really wanted to win? That he told us was, that, you know, a tournament that he is desperate to win. And he got screwed out the first round. And he just walks up to Elias and says, like, hey, man, I want to speak to Shane.
Screwed by Elias, no less.
Yeah, screwed by Elias and Shane. Why isn't this man annoyed and pissed off and really angry? Instead, he just walks in and be like, oh, hey, man, what's going on?
Because he's doing it for his family.
I nearly swore then.
Oh, sod off.
I don't like it.
No, it's terrible. KO said thanks and did like a sort of cheeky, because obviously he has a plan. Shane's not here for the night. I don't know how anything he does wouldn't get back to Shane.
Well, that's it. Like, and Shane's been there and you've done stuff anyway. So what does it matter if Shane's not there either? Plus, his big plan was to be a bit part in 24/7 comedy.
Mm. Yeah. Getting cool. That momentum back.
Cool
All
plan.
That pre-SummerSlam momentum.
Cool plan, bro. So glad that you beat Shane at SummerSlam. Because it meant F all. And he swore again then. It meant absolutely nothing.
Luke, he didn't quit. His career was on the line. It meant everything.
He got fired for the following day.
Would have preferred if he got fired at this point. But luckily, we did some... I have no idea how this was so... Well, actually, I do, because Bailey's a very, very good worker. as some people have picked up on how involved she was in this match. She wrestled herself, essentially.
And she tried to hide it very, very well by going like, come on, guys! Let's all get into this! Arm drag.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Bailey versus Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
The match set up earlier in the night. And, you know, it started off...
I believe
off...
it was actually set up on Twitter.
Oh, okay. It started off hot. Like, Bailey went right for Lacey, pulling her off the apron. And it had, like, an intensity to it. Lacey then gets on top by throwing Bailey into the ring post. Bailey does the NXT Brooklyn arm sell. So Lacey's working over her arm. Then Charlotte comes to watch at ringside. They go to an ad break. And then they just... like, have this really good match.
You know, there's a moment here where Bayley locked in this new submission while she was staring at Charlotte Flair, and I thought, oh, there's the finish. She's discovered this new finisher, and that's how she's going to beat Charlotte Flair at her own game come Clash of Champions. She's adapting her arsenal. She is evolving as a character, which is one of the things that's always been, you know, as in kayfabe world, one of the big criticisms against Bayley is that she has never moved past NXT, whereas everyone else has. So I'm like, oh, okay, so she's locked in this new finisher, and that's going to be what sets us up. No, the match continued. The match continued into near falls and Evans kicking out of the Bayley to belly.
Yeah, that was such a good kick out. Her arm was already pretty much under the rope, so I don't think the referee should have counted the pin anyway. But she just reached up right at the end of that near three count, and grabbed the bottom rope. Really good near fall.
Yeah, it really was.
Also, like other good spots was Bayley kicking out of a Lacey Evans moonsault. But everyone bought into for some reason that like Lacey's handspring pin thing, Bayley gets the knees up. That there was a really close count out spot as well on the outside. Honestly, this was really good. Bayley suplex off the timekeeper's area.
Yeah.
That's where they did the count out spot. And I thought, okay, it's going to be a double count out to protect Lacey. No, nope. They both got in.
More wrestling. It was good, man. Really it was good.
Yeah, really good. But then Bayley won for the second night in a row with the top rope elbow drop.
Yeah.
With her one good arm. That's crucial. She was doing a great job of selling her bad arm.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte just clapped her. So it's almost like Bayley was like, let me go out there and just wrestle myself, because I didn't like the Nikki Cross match last night.
I mean, you say that, but I think it was more that they realized the show was going to run short and they were like, we've only scheduled you in for 5 minutes, but can you do 15? Yeah. And Bayley was like, oh, don't worry, I can do 15 minutes.
Paul's got you down for three. Yeah. It was surprise, surprise, letting wrestlers wrestle gets them over. I thought Lacey looked great coming out of this.
Much better than she did in the Becky feud.
Yeah, for that entire time, she looks better in this match than anything she's done before. This is the best Lacey has ever looked, and she lost.
Yeah.
And that's not damning with faint praise. That's like, this was a very, very good TV match.
Yeah, enjoyed.
This was, though, Lacey's return.
It's been a main event.
Yeah, come on. She hasn't been on main roster TV.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Since Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
That's like 6 weeks right there.
Well, you know, Baron's back, and I guess they just dusted her off. It's not like, I mean, there are no other SmackDown women that Bayley can wrestle, so she has to wrestle Raw talent as well.
Wild card. I thought she looked good. Like, she had a star presence about her, which I never got from the Becky-Lacey feud.
Yeah. I think there's so much you can be doing with the SmackDown women's division, and I think actually putting on matches like this could be a way to get people invested in Bayley's championship run, because I don't think people really are invested in Bayley's championship run at the moment. But like, could you imagine if they'd have done Bayley Asuka for 20 minutes on TV and just had a really, really awesome match, and people were like, oh my god, this is great. And then you do more matches like that. You could do that with Sonya Deville, you can do that with Kairi Sane, you could do that with Mandy Rose, you could do that with Ember Moon.
Asuka versus Ember for the number one contendership.
You could do it with Liv Morgan, maybe. You could do it with Sarah Logan. Like, there are loads of these women available. But crucially, I think WWE, and we've mentioned this before, don't care about the women's division now that Rousey's gone.
Yeah.
The case in point of that is they made the announcement again later in the night that Ronda Rousey is joining Total Divas. And that's their big headline news. Ronda Rousey has joined the cast of Total Divas. And it was only until today that I realized that Sonya Deville has also joined the cast. And that's part of the story. But despite the fact she is a currently active roster member, she's so less important than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, it's a damning indictment of what they've made the division since Rousey's left.
Yeah.
After that, Brian and Rowan told, that's where they said they won an apology from Roman. Then we got another very good match, and that this was again out of left field. It's Randy Orton versus Big E.
Oh, super pissed off, Big E.
Yeah, Randy Orton's already out there, and Big E walks down. Like, he looks so serious that the way he walked down, unclipped his tag team title belt as he was walking down the ramp and just let it drop to the floor.
Yeah.
Like, no, son. This is serious, Big E, now.
And he took a lot of this match as well.
I would say 90%.
Yeah, yeah. Even when Randy was, you know, making a comeback, Big E would just shut him down. It was it was a really good showing for Big E.
And it wasn't like, you've beaten up my friend, I'm enraged, I'm emotional. It was a methodical, almost Randy Orton-style beatdown of Randy. Big E would, like, do a power move, compose himself, do another move. He was taking his time. Randy Orton would come back. Big E would cut him off, compose himself. It was, like, Big E looked incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because he is very good at being serious anyway, or if it's because we're so used to him being a goofy character, when he does that shifting gears, it feels even more impactful.
Yeah, I mean, there's an amazing spot where he did the Randy Orton backdrop to Randy Orton onto the table. It looked really, really cool. And the crowd popped massively for it because that move has really gotten over in the last year or so.
Thanks to the Singh brothers.
Yeah, God bless them. 2 years, I suppose I should say then. But yeah, I thought this was great. And then the revival ran down and we got this big sort of finishing sequence where Big E blocked the RKO, then Orton blocked the big ending and pushed him into the ropes, which kind of like pushed the referee out of the way slightly, and the revival clocked him in the face and he turned around into an RKO for the win. And then afterwards, they hit the super RKO with the revival and Randy doing the move. Oh, it was really cool. I liked it.
Do you not think the referee heard anything? Now that the referee hearing stuff is part of the rules?
No, I'm sure it was, you know, he just walked. It's an arcade from out of nowhere.
Yeah. I particularly liked, you know, this was a very, very solid TV match. I really enjoyed it. After Randy getting backdropped by Big E on the table, he sort of walked round a bit and was on the front row, and the sound cut out implying he just swore.
Yeah.
And he chose to swore right at the kid in the front row. That is so Randy. But yeah, this was very, very good. And I've got no problems with it.
Liked it, mate.
So then we had Not Renee Young talking to Chad Gable backstage. He said that Shelton Benjamin has been making jokes about him. And then Shelton comes in and makes jokes about him. And Chad just looks sad.
You look very sad about it.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey's going to be on the Total Divas cast.
So, Sonya.
The same Fondling Day, the Founders Day recap thing with the 24/7 title on Fox. More Fox promotion on the USA Network. Then Elias comes out, sits on a throne, says, "Call me King Elias."
Yeah, it was the Baron Corbin promo that we had on Monday, but with a different heel.
Yeah, always fun. And he does the whole King spiel. And then KO pokes his head out from behind the throne and then beats him up into the ring, hits a stunner. That was his whole idea.
Hey, and you know what Tom Phillips said? That was a measure of payback. Was it?
Yeah. Connived to get you out of the King of the Ring tournament.
He's still in King of the Ring. He's going to be fine come next week when he has his next round match.
And it's just a logic hole. Like, if Kevin Owens is so scared about Shane McMahon, why is he not fearing the repercussions of when Shane gets back next week?
Yeah.
Like, if this was done properly, and I don't think it should be done this way, but if you stuck to the parameters you set last week, KO should be tiptoeing around Elias saying, you know, "I'm sorry, do you want me to do anything for you? Do you want me to help you in the match?" Almost accompany Elias around to defend him from anyone trying to win the 24/7 title off of him.
Yeah.
And then you build that up to KO eventually doing the turn and saying, "Nah, screw you, Big Pop." I don't know.
Well, you know, but this feud's got to continue. And they didn't have a way to continue it this week, so this is what they did.
So KO stunners Elias. Elias is winning the 24, wearing the 24/7 title.
He's trying to get it off as well.
Yes.
Well, I think when he was beating him down to the ring, he was trying to get his kimono off and he was trying to unhook the title belt and he couldn't unhook it. So Owens had to give him the stunner while he was wearing the belt. So then he was lying on his back, still trying to unhook. But for whatever reason, the camera just decided to focus on him trying to take this bloody belt off.
So you know, oh, okay, someone's running in now to pin him. Wasn't Owens, because it's a joke belt.
Well, why would Owens want it? Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin Owens actually tweeted out, said, "Well, I've got a family to provide for. I can't defend a 24/7 title."
Podcast listeners.
But yet, then R-Truth scrambled in, but then Drake Maverick... pulled Truth out and won the belt.
Yeah.
So he can go and have some sex now.
Well, hopefully so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you, Maverick.
How long has this Truth and Drake storyline been going for now?
Carry the thing. Too long.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
Then we got the final first round match of the King of the Ring tournament. I would say a 50% of very good matches and then another 50% of, that was slightly disappointing.
I think 50 strong.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
You go through this and I'll find out the brackets.
It shouldn't take long. Andrade was watching backstage. Benjamin dominated to silence. Gable got a shock roll-up win. Andrade laughed.
You're already finished.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm getting up the matches that we've had
so far.
Okay,
so Joe Cesaro.
I like that.
Like that a lot, mate.
So I'm putting that in the good column. Yeah. Ricochet, Drew McIntyre.
Love
fantastic.
That, mate.
Cedric Alexander, Sami Zayn. No. That wasn't good. Miz, Baron Corbin. I thought
that was solid. Yeah, that was. I'll give you that one, yeah. So actually, that will take us 2-4. Yeah.
Kevin Owens, Elias. No. Ali, Buddy Murphy. Yes. We'll put it, yes. Great sequence.
Yeah.
Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin. No. Apollo Crews and Andrade. Yes.
Hey, man, you're right. 50-50.
I mean it 5-3.
I miscounted. Yeah, you're right. Actually, you're right.
I think the problem is I lump Drew McIntyre, Cedric Alexander, Buddy versus Roman and Buddy versus Bryan in with this.
Yeah.
But they're not actually tournament matches. We haven't had the great, apart from Ricochet, Drew.
But it's first round.
Yes.
Doesn't always have to be like amazing matches in your first round. You want to gradually build.
But the problem here was that I really thought the story they were telling that Chad Gable can physically overcome his tormentor. But what happened instead was he fluked out.
But that's because he's short.
Yes. He fluked out a win.
He's not actually good. Mm. He is Shorty G. And so he has to fluke out these wins and get the surprise. Oh, my God, I won roll-ups.
Yeah, Shelton even called him Shorty Gable.
He did, yeah.
So maybe they really are going to do that. He'll face Andrade next week.
Which is why Andrade was laughing, because ha-ha-ha, the small man, ha-ha-ha-ha. So maybe we're going to get another shock roll-up from Chad next week.
You see, Andrade has to win there. Because if Chad wins, it makes Andrade look crap. Chad Gable doesn't really have enough momentum to be winning that. I think no one's going to really like him.
Pushing him as the underdog of the tournament. And so if you're going to push someone as the underdog of the tournament, don't you want them to make it far in the tournament?
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah. I don't think they booked this tournament well so far. We'll see. It's the first round. But overall, I would give this a low smack bang in the middle.
I gave it a flat smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, three out of five.
Yeah, the in-ring stuff was actually very, very good. But it's a show that if you missed it and tuned in next week, you won't have missed anything. You could watch next week's show and be like, okay, so we're still in the same position we were 2 weeks ago. I now know where I can continue watching.
Plus, the Reigns-Bryan stuff is just ridiculous.
And I do not like where they're going with Owens either.
Let's get your thoughts on the super chats with King Chopper Whopper.
We've got quite a lot, as usual. So let's go through it. Will Adams, Luke Owens' number one fan, says, for the first time in 10 years, I got to watch SmackDown with my dad. While the show was nothing spectacular, it was still nice to watch it with my dad like I was 10 years old again.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice.
That's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I get that with my sister if I watch wrestling with her, because we always used to watch it together as kids.
Yeah.
Aman Saeed says, Ziggler and Rude team name should be Rudolph, which is what we got yesterday.
Yesterday,
that's very good.
And I also used it in my news today. Caleb Maldonado said, Happy New Year, Pete. Going through the whole spectrum of holidays. Jay Jones says, Chopper Pete's birthday to AEW confirmed. Thanks, a really good one. Caleb Brandon said, The Fiend should control people like Get Out.
No, you don't want to add supernatural stuff into this. Absolutely, I know he disappears and stuff, but not that level of supernatural.
No thanks, mate.
Flame Ink Live says, and new Going in Raw Hatch champion, Simon Miller.
Yeah, Simon Miller won the belt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm talking about that a lot on Going in Raw this week.
Yeah.
Congrats, Simon.
Matthew Scheel.
Why?
Everyone missed that.
Why?
I changed the camera to miss. There we go.
Yeah.
Matthew Shields said, more women's wrestling this week.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a welcome change, especially with that Bayley-Lacey Evans match. I cannot believe I'm saying that.
Yeah. Was the Bayley cross match the only women's match on Raw?
No, I think there was another one. Can't remember what it was, though.
I can't remember what it was either. But, I mean, even if that was the only one.
Sasha Natalia, which was pretty good.
That was pretty good as well, yeah. So actually a very good week.
Nick Ward says, Murphy versus Ali at WrestleMania, please.
I would like to see their feud, get a bigger stage to pay off on that isn't the pre-show.
Absolutely.
Van Thomas says, got a Bella podcast ad today. Anyone else? I mean, not us.
Got a what now?
A Bella podcast ad. I assume on
for the
Bellas today.
Are they doing a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were already doing a podcast. To be honest, I just assume any wrestler is doing a podcast these days.
They do, because that's where she revealed her sort of, was it a brain issue that would stop her from wrestling?
I've always assumed that they just had a podcast where they talk about
underwear.
Yep, twin stuff.
Mm.
You can tell we got to the start of the stream now because Nate Drop Surname says Johnny Swaft. For the nice.
There it is. That's
name.
Good.
It's a good one. Wilson Simon says, Merry Christmas, Chopper. Thank you. Flint Mech says, I'm afraid the lack of hype video packages for NXT on USA is clear evidence of Vince's lack of interest in it.
It was a cynical business decision move. Almost.
But even then, they promote themselves so much. They've genuinely got something to promote today. Why haven't they made a video package?
Because they don't care.
Our good friend Adam Pearson says, throwing it out there, Ciampa is Reigns' attacker.
I think a few people have said Ciampa before, and they said that he's ready to come back. And I don't know, maybe he'll go to NXT because they want to try and push that brand a bit. Now it's going to USA Network, but then I did just say they probably don't care. So, man, if it's Ciampa, that'd be great.
That'd be good. It'd be so good. I'm just like, I don't want to be Vince here, but I'm just thinking in Vince's head, Roman Reigns, big guy, Ciampa standing next to Roman Reigns as I'm your attacker. I don't see that visual, you know, standing face to face.
Yeah.
I would love it to be, though.
Scott Ollie says, Ollie Davis looking smooth AF in that shirt.
Nice, mate. And the haircut.
I like how you always notice when I have a haircut. Pete doesn't.
It's because you
couldn't tell you, mate.
It's a very sharp haircut you get, mate. It's very nice. And that is a lovely shirt.
Thanks.
Valab... Okay, forgive me if I get this one wrong. Valab Mamidipudi. Way to make everyone look silly with this storyline, WWE. Congratulations. Intentional typo. A loser is you, fans.
A loser is you.
Anthony James says Bailey and Lacey and Murphy and Ali stole the show.
Yeah, I mean, usually you'd say one set of people steal the show.
Yeah.
But that's a good, well done SmackDown for having wrestling matches.
It's what happens when a script just gets thrown out completely and they're like, what do we do? Wrestling?
Alex Jordan said, Happy Father's Day, Chopper. Really going through the
whole
spectrum.
For the little Chopper Whoppers out there.
Chris Dudley says, First Super Chat. Love you guys. Question, who was more critical in WWE history, Stone Cold or The Rock?
Who was more critical? As in, like,
like important. Stone Cold. Stone Cold, business-wise, definitely.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Chris Field says, Hey from Texas, love you all. Is it just me, or did it look like Charlotte had some work done to her face? Lacey versus Bailey was pretty good.
I don't know about Faye. I think it's a makeup thing. I think she just changed the makeup. But it's just, we watched NXT TakeOver from 2015, the Brooklyn one, and Charlotte there, because you've got all four horsewomen. Becky Lynch looks like Becky Lynch would look 4 years ago. Sasha Banks, Bailey are the same. Like, now they look 4 years older. Charlotte has aged parallel-wise. She looks so different.
Yeah, she has not aged, but at the same time looks completely different.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe.
Again, Valab Mamidipudi said, New World Discorders versus Susu Super Chatters. Who wins?
Yeah, we haven't had that feud for a while.
Can't we all just work together?
I was going to say, we're all on the same side here, guys.
We're all members of the SWAF Nation. Tanastarika says, Bray needs to be champ in Hell in a Cell. I really hope the push rumors are true. Bray is a genius. Hashtag 4 year reign. Hashtag goat. Hashtag let him in.
Well, we were saying in the office, if it is going to be the case that the arena has announced that's the match, which I'm always going to be a card subject to change kind of guy. If it is, he's got to win. he has to win the title. You don't just put him in that match and have him lose.
I totally agree with you. But Ryback was also in Hell in a Cell. Where's Brad Shepherd been? No, not Brad Shepherd, Brad Maddox.
Yeah, wow.
I don't want to ask
YouTube comments that.
It's so ripe for them to delay it. You know? That big win.
Yeah, because you know what? Delaying him winning the title worked so well for Bray Wyatt the first time round.
I'm scared. I'm more scared now.
Rons for a Gen says, I think Roman is being treated really poorly for just walking by when Roman got crushed. We let Buddy Murphy off the hook.
In all fairness as well, who pushed the scaffolding?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's another reason this is stupid, stupid, stupid.
You can't push both of them. And I'd say the scaffolding was more dangerous than the boxes.
Maybe he had the grappling hook that Braun Strowman once had.
Maybe, yeah.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, I want Sami Zayn to cheer for all my actions.
Oh, it would get annoying.
Yeah.
He's good at being obnoxious.
Miguel8A says, am I the only one loving the Sami Shinsuke combo?
I'm sure you're not the only one.
I can see why people would like it. To me, I don't think it's less than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. He is page boy.
Jeffrey Lopez Flores says, Cena should win the Universal title to break the record and elevate the title. Been watching you guys for 2 years and favorite channel. Keep up the good work.
Elevate the Universal title. It's the top championship in the company.
Right, and he's elevating that, doesn't it? It's only jobbers have won it previously. Like,
you can take it to Hollywood.
Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins.
And Brock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Goldberg. We need to elevate this thing. I'm going to disagree with that one.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think Cena needs to beat the record. It's a fictional record anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
I would like one Tanahashi-style storyline for him to win that final record-breaking quote. Mm-hmm. Reigns.
Anthony James says, another attack with Brian, Rowan Reigns at the scene to throw things into even more doubt. Could make Harper a star with this if Vince gave him a chance.
Yeah, I don't think Harper's going to feature in any of this, unfortunately.
Do you know what? To be honest, at this point, because I feel they are just making it up as they go along, could be Harper. Could be Johnny Gargano. It could be the Undisputed Era. It could be CM Punk. It could be Kenny Omega. It could be bloody anyone at this point.
Could be the gobbledygooker.
There you go.
Judo Judah said, Rusev, and the attacker is his Bulgarian uncle.
Could be Rusev.
Oh my God, if Rusev finally signs his contract again.
Gets that 3 week push.
He's totally going to get a 3 week push as the Reigns attacker.
Yeah. Hashtag 3 week push.
Me, the person's name is just me, says, you have to remember that Funhouse Bray cut down his old self, so it's possible he could have driven the car, but it could have been Rowan under control. I guess more of that kind of possession
the mind control thing. Not a fan of that.
No.
We're not going to read out Party on Sparty's one, so we're going to skip to Jade Star, who says, Mae Young's baby hand grown up tried to kill Roman.
Yeah.
He has been back on TV. We saw him at Raw 1000.
Playing the long game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
New Tops 4 says, does Orton and the Revival remind you a little bit about the Legacy days?
Well, yeah, we had this last week. I hope not.
In the fact that it's two guys with Randy Orton. But that's about where it stops.
Yeah. If you're going to put this group together as a faction, use it to get the Revival over. Which, to be honest, the only reason Legacy was put together was to get Randy Moore over.
I mean, the one thing they would share is that they're probably going to go to AEW too, just like Cody.
There you go.
Brian Johnson said, what would be worse, Baron Corbin winning King of the Ring or Shane McMahon replacing someone and winning it?
That would be at least funny
in an annoying way.
I was
going to say Baron's worse. Shane winning it just like he did Best in the World last year, I think is... That's almost like the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
Dante NYC said, Randy's letter is an homage to Rowdy Roddy Piper's promo.
I thought it was an homage to Samoa Joe's.
Well, it didn't work because they did the same homage last year to AJ Styles.
That didn't get any heat either.
Kevin says, Big E was so serious in his promo, but then took his time to do the usual New Day intro during his entrance, so Big E heel turn confirmed.
I also didn't like the spank spot.
No.
That took me out of it. He got Randy Orton in the stretch and gave him the New Day rock spank bit. I thought, you know, just don't do that for this match because you look really great as a serious ass kicker.
Got to get your spots in, brother.
Yeah.
Alex Ramirez says, no excitement for WWE/NXT. Can't wait for All Out.
Yeah, it's going to be this Saturday. We're going to be live streaming it all, so join us here if you want to watch along, buddies.
And our predictions video is going up tomorrow morning, UK time, so like 9 a.m. UK time, so it's probably like 1 a.m. in the US. So yeah, look out for that. It was a lot of fun. We had to record it twice.
Hashim Al Nasser said, first super chat, thanks to a VPN. It's not available here in Kuwait, but this seems to work. Been watching you guys for ages and love what you do. Considering the changes to the card, which match are you most looking forward to and All Out?
We were talking about this in the predictions video. I actually, aside from the obvious, like Young Bucks, Lucha Brothers, and Pac Omega, and Hangman Jericho, it's the triple threat. It's Darby Allin, Joey Janela, and WrestleTalk's boy, Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, mine is Young Bucks, Lucha Bros. Because I love them ladders.
Love them ladder matches.
Also, thanks for super chatting from Kuwait.
Thank you.
I hope you use NordVPN.
Brett J. Rasmussen says, what match are you guys most looking forward to? All Out, which you just answered. By the way, happy birthday, King Chopper, wasn't Pete. Also, Luke's Muscle Man dance is the greatest thing I've ever seen. # lovely time with the boys.
Oh, thank lovely you very time with the much. Boys. Thank it you very was. Much. It was punishing.
Jeff Cole said, did anyone else get horrible flashbacks of Leo Rush when Sammy was commenting over everything Shinsuke did?
That's true. Yeah, it was a bit Leo Rush, wasn't it?
Yeah, but not horrible flashbacks. I thought Leo did a good job there. Sammy did a good job here.
Yeah. And again, writers have got certain templates. Vince McMahon has that little paperclip in Word.
Chris Blank says, I'm drunk. Here you go, mates. Also, Pac versus Omega. Let's go.
Hey.
I'm actually really stoked for that, man.
Yeah, it'll be really fun with knees and slapping noises.
Oh, yeah. Get the bastard in there.
Jeff Cole says, finally get to watch live and super chat. Yay! Love you guys so much. You make WWE bearable to watch. Keep up the great content.
You're very welcome. Thanks for watching. Thank you so much for watching.
Hart Jennings comes in to say, happy St. George's Day, Chopper.
Hey! Patriotic king over there.
Yeah, totally. Jeff Cole again says, King Chopper for King of the Ring.
Wait. Is Jeff Cole the guy who said he's just had a beer?
No.
Oh, good. I was worried he had a beer and he just went super chat crazy.
No, that was a different guy who's not super chatted again, so.
He's really enjoying the beer.
Mike Martin, too, said, happy Rusev Day, Pete. It's always a good Rusev Day, thank you. Caleb Bond says, happy National Bowtie Day, Choppy G.
Choppy G.
Is it National Bowtie Day?
I have no idea. Might just be a day that they've just plucked out of thin air.
It actually is. August 28th is Bow Tie Day.
Oh,
an
man.
Annual holiday that celebrates the elegant fashion accessory usually worn by men at formal occasions.
I am a bow tie man, so I should be celebrating this day.
We had to wear bow ties as groomsmen at your wedding.
Did indeed, because I don't really like regular ties. I'm much prefer a bow tie.
What do you think of this neon nightlife men's light-up bow tie?
So good in this visual medium that people can't see.
James Robinson says, what do you guys think about Cesaro going to NXT Cardiff?
They're trying to get some interest in that show.
Yep. Alan Partridge shrug. Cool, I guess. We were joking about this on the All Out predictions video that's going up tomorrow, that it is the most WWE thing to tease a reunion of the Kings of Wrestling and do it on the show that no one watches.
It's a jumble of letters, so RBLAISJR says, Aleister Black versus The Fiend versus The Demon, please.
I forgot about Aleister Black.
I was going to mention him during the King of the Ring, but yeah, we haven't heard from him in a little while. Not even in the Phantom Zone, like where people are knocking on his door and stuff.
That's a shame.
Fergal McClements says, thought about this a while ago. Remember when Brock worked over Seth's ribs? How cool would it have been if Roman's music hit as if to help him, but heel turn and he spears the ribs?
I mean, you shouldn't turn Roman heel now. Can't believe I'm... 2012 Ollie, can't believe... No, 2015, 16 Ollie, can't believe I'm saying that. But also, that was around the same time where Roman just arrived really late to every show.
Yeah, he wouldn't
so he wouldn't have been there in time.
Yeah.
Nate Drop Surname says, what's the better WWE Curb Your Enthusiasm unmasking moment? The Jewel Rowans or Cedric the Janitor? Looking forward to the live stream this weekend. Chop on.
Well, I'm going to say Cedric, because Cedric did have the womp, 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 like face on him. So, yeah, I'm going to might go with that one.
I've got to stick with my fake Rowans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that Cedric angle was dumb.
Will Haight says, Ollie, does Dean Malenko know you raid his wardrobe?
We go golf together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We share.
Yeah. There is no greater fashion compliment than being compared to Dean Malenko.
You've actually got a bit like the Dean Malenko hairstyle as well. It's the Bruce Willis.
Stop it, you make me blush.
It's good, mate.
Kay Amal says, if Rowan is going solo, then Curb Your Enthusiasm should be his new theme.
Dun, 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 dun. It's the big dog! Da-dun. So you could actually work them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashim Al Nasser, who is the super chatter from Kuwait, comes in again to say, NordVPN from the card in my ridge.
Hey, all that's the supporting offers. Wrestle Talk right there.
Thank you.
Aaron Donnelly said, Kenny's promo on Moxley was awesome.
Oh, so good. Yeah, really love good. That promo. It's amazing. Kenny is really stepping up his promo game. Some amazing lines within it.
R. Jennings says, happy baptism, Chopper. Thanks, I guess. And
you baptized Chopper.
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
Technically.
Technically I have, but
still follow
religious.
The word of God?
No. Shockingly. And finally, thank you to Chris Blank and Just Run in LA for donating, but with no message.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you very, very much. And he's still trying to get into the box.
Yep. That whole show.
Yes. Yeah, that's how we record these.
Yep.
Do you want me to start on another side of it?
No, it's okay. I think I've got it
it's
now.
It's a
I
big
just,
box.
I just need you to fill for time.
Okay, so let me tell you about these glasses.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, blue light's a problem. Stops you from producing melatonin in the body to help you go to sleep. Sounds like I'm doing a sponsored read. I just bought these normally. We're not sponsored by this thing. And they're gaming
melatonin's
glasses.
Melatonin's a big thing for you at the moment, isn't it?
Hmm?
Melatonin's a big thing for you at the moment, isn't it?
No, it's a big thing for sleep, and I'm into my sleeping patterns.
Well, that's what I mean. So that's your new favourite thing. So you're just sort of like doing a lot of research about that and then buying a lot of products for that.
If you get into sleep, Luke, you're going to be into melatonin. So
it's your new favourite gimmick.
It's made for gamers because they spend so much time looking at screens.
Yep.
And I've always been put off because they look a bit like futuristic ski goggle things.
Mm-hmm.
But then this one, honest to God, tortoiseshell frames, little bit hipstery. And I was looking and I thought those are cool, but Anna, my lady partner, would never let me get them. Like, she wouldn't let me wear them around the house. And then she said, what's this? This looks like a serial killer's note.
Well, it does, because it says...
But let me finish my story.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, that they look like Tony Stark glasses, you know, with the amber frames. And as soon as she said that, I had to get them. So what's going on here, Luke?
So we have got a bit of fabric in here, but they've also written sort of like a ransom-style note about, I believe, the WrestleTalk magazine. However, some of the letters have fallen off.
Oh, no, it's a puzzle.
So I've got to try and... Okay, so
it's genuinely quite unnerving to get a letter with little digits cut out of magazines.
So it says, congrats on the mag.
Thank God.
Congrats on the mag. And the letter says, cheers, guys, to all the team. A huge congrats. Sorry about the lack of packing supplies. I actually know what this is because this person emailed us in. I'm going to find their name now. They emailed in quite a while ago. But no, don't look. Did I say look? 1 second.
Well, I wanted to see what was in the box, but all right.
So this comes from Chet.
Chet, that's
who
a
says,
good name.
Yeah, sorry for the lack of proper packing supplies, but this is from the twins. These,
the twins being the two kids who are into the Fiend.
They very well might be, if I remember correctly.
I can't think of any other twins.
But these are legit worn John Morrison sunglasses.
Oh my God!
From an indie show.
Whoa!
That Chet was given, and he has sent them to us.
Oh, thanks, Chet.
Yeah, here is the email. He says, hi, Luke. I'm honored to post these guys, the Morrison Shade. Let me find the original email that he sent.
You're not going to let me wear the shades too?
I'll tell you what, I'll let you wear them now.
Wow. They say Mundo and Morrison on either side of the sort of, what would you call them, glass arms? You know, the little arms?
Mm-hmm.
The little things that hug your ears.
Yeah, they also feel a bit lopsided at times. Oh, wow. They suit you, mate.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I prefer an amber tint, to be honest. but yeah, they say Morrison and Mundo either side of the arms. No place for impact. It's a bit...
the least important of his names, I guess. But yeah, so those are... Chet got in touch to say that he has got some. These were... John Morrison sunglasses.
Oh, thank you very much,
Chet. John Mundo sunglasses.
Yeah, you know, because if you can sort of paint a picture in your mind, we'll wear them briefly on the Wrestle Ramble.
Phone's not here, but I'll take a photo and put up on Twitter.
Yeah, if you want to go and see our presence, they'll both be featured in the video today, the video version of this show. But that Morrison's sunglasses have the huge cross on the eyes.
They do, yeah.
They're in the way.
Yeah, it's difficult to see. That's why he doesn't wrestle in them.
I hope he doesn't drive in them. I hope he's not like, ooh, it's a bit bright out in California. So I'll pop on. Oh, and I haven't got my usual sunglasses. Pop on a gimmick.
Yep.
This is prohibitively. This is restricting my ocular range.
And hey. He was featured on Being the Elite this week with Taya Valkyrie.
Wait.
So, Johnny Mundo to AEW confirmed. Johnny Elite.
Oh my God. Like he needs another name. Let me react to that news more fittingly.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. So I took off the glasses and looked right at Luke.
So visual. Oh, but anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for your wonderful presents that you have sent us.
You should wear them for the show. Not the entire show, but the opening.
That'd be mad. I'm going to read this quick email from... so he calls himself He Who Can Only Roll Nat Twens. He says, Pete, Luke, Ollie, and El Fakador. Greetings from Alaska, US. Bracket, it's near Washington. I've been watching since it was just Ollie, and I've been listening from the start, but this is my first correspondence. Why is Pete's name first, you might ask? Because yeah. I really connected with that email that he sent. Thanks for being strong and sharing that strength. Just wanted to share the fact that I just got engaged. Take that, you piece of crap, Blake Ham. My lady and I are booked on the Jericho cruise, and there's a chance she might be okay with Jericho being the one to marry us.
Oh my God, is he ordained?
Jericho's probably got gimmicks. Yeah, he's probably got that. I mean, Kevin Smith is, so why not Jericho?
So you've bumped Blake Ham's email for another day.
Sorry for the length. It's a long email. Sorry for the length. It's not. It's because writing takes longer than reading. Keep up the overwhelming consistency. So congratulations to you on your engagement. We do have an email from Blake Ham, but unfortunately we've run out of time and cannot get to it. So yeah, very, very sorry on that one.
Maybe Blake. Next time,
maybe,
Blake.
Maybe next time. We've also had an email from Harry Iverson. This is the sort of email I like to see. Garden Centre Talk.
Ooh, oh, for next
love
time.
Love it for next time. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT Wrestle Ramble review. And is that the final week before it goes live on USA?
No, you've got a couple more of
got
that.
A couple
Isn't
more
it
of those.
17th of September or something?
12th of September. 18th September. Okay, so we've got a few more weeks of it then. And then do join us this coming Saturday. We're going to be live streaming our reactions to All Out. And of course, we have got the SWAF Nation meetup at the Four Quarters in Hackney before the show, before Royal Quest. We're going to be then live streaming our reactions to All Out. And if you're just into the podcast, the headline review will be out about an hour or so after the show itself. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye. Also, our prediction video is out tomorrow. Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter.
Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.